Shalom, brothers and sisters. May God anoint you all with the oil of gladness this day, this night, this hour. When the world is so troubled, may you all find rest within the scriptures where true peace is found. This is Brother Ryan coming to you from our place of fellowship at Pine Creek Independent Church, USA, a name and a title given to our assembly by my father, who is a pastor and founder of our circle of faith, to denote a desire to come out from among the world of religion and get back to the original seed of the saints as found in the first generation of believing ones who took the gospel to the four corners of the earth, east, west, north, and south. As ever, my thanks goes out to Brother Andrew Peary and Brother Jesse and Zima and to all who seek truth in Jesus' name. And our mission in life and our great task at hand is to, as it is in your own fellowships, it's to be agreed with the holiness of the God of heaven, whom the angels, the living creatures of Revelation 4, verse 8, proclaim before the very presence of the Lord himself, holy, holy, holy is he. There's a responsibility to all of us to speak of the Lord's holiness in like manner by our own expressions. The original tongues that the Bible was written in didn't always contain the words for good or better and or best in their descriptions, so the saying of holy, holy, holy emphasizes the glory of he who was and is to come in threes in order to glorify his name. So in the light of God's presence, let all who name the name of the Lord depart from iniquity, knowing that it takes a covering to do so, to be covered by the blood of the Lamb that we bring to the altar of worship every time that we speak the name of Jesus. As everything we are depends on that blessed name and every hope we have has its foundation in that the Word was made flesh to dwell among us. That established, I'd like to share some scriptures with you, and I'm sure you're aware of those as much as I am, but let's just renew and refresh our knowledge by this title for the week, which is Pillars of the Gospel. Pillars of the Gospel be the first part, as it's just a little bit of encouragement to help us along the way by bringing to our remembrance of the things that make us who we are in Christ. The real rock-solid foundations of our faith that are forever, and they're set in heaven. God's word is forever settled in heaven and spoken of by the Master himself. A few years back, I was honored to share a devotional week with you that was under the heading of Greatness in Faith, which was an emphasis both on the people of the book and the heroes of faith and the way that their choices and life examples have so much to teach us about the basics of what they stood for and the precepts thereof. This speaking will be a little more on the precepts themselves that inspired the saints, but no doubt we'll refer to a few life examples too as we walk together in agreement that faith is the substance that miracles are made of. And we'll quote that directly in a moment. Everything around us is indeed a miracle, including our next breath, which is a gift of God. Just because a condition is common, that doesn't mean it isn't the result of a miracle. So God created a world and a universe that has regular properties, or physical properties, if we would call them that, so that miracles would stand out amongst that which has a definable natural process. But yet that process was set in place by the Almighty himself in the beginning, when God created the heaven and the earth. Literally, all time, space, and matter, or a beginning, denotes the birth of time, and heaven is space, to put his creation, and earth is a place of solid ground where we stand, work, live, eat, sleep, and witness for the Lord. So what God has done is truly a marvel, and there would be no life without it. There's absolutely no reason for the universe to exist apart from a creator. And all the Psalms 19 witness proclaims it from the very first verses, from 1 through 6, And then the revelation knowledge that comes to us from verse 7 onward takes over, providing a kind of a double witness of the Lord's sovereignty and guidance within. And that pattern will be verified by Jesus himself when he affirms of what is written, that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let everything be established. And so the word itself, it takes that course to follow its own instruction of life and testimony. And that's a miracle work too, as the God of truth makes himself to be known by actions of faith. For faith cannot be found just in thought and concept alone. It has to show results in order to be made alive. Thus God fulfills his infinite potential by speaking and by thought and by action, those three things. And that makes the Lord very real in our lives. Now, to Hebrews chapter 11, in the first four verses, as we come to those, and speaking of faith, Hannah of old, mother to Samuel the prophet, perceived something very vital in her prayer of 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 8. She was aware of many things on many levels, but when she said, "The pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them," second part of the verse. Those thoughts are contained within Scripture for very definite reasons. And what are those pillars she spoke of? I maintain they were spiritual pillars, out of which the physical and existent universe was formed out of. Spirit, that comes first. God's Holy Spirit comes first. God is a spirit, the very living essence of truth of St. John 14:17. That's also a comforting presence. And they that worship him must do so with their own spirit, given by God himself and in truth. So from Hebrews 11 we read, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." Life continues beyond the curtain of time. And I included verse 4 to make a very important point that can get overlooked by stopping at verse 3, which I myself have often done. But now I do want to emphasize this. Faith is the very essence of life itself. In our human bodies, life is carried by the blood that causes us to function as living human beings, to live by the blood that courses through our veins. But there's another level that goes beyond mortality, and it goes beyond physical means. There's another plane of existence that's beyond our sight and sound. And by faith, shown here in the scripture through Abel, by faith, that spirit which offered a more excellent sacrifice, yet lived and spoke, like the souls under the altar of the fifth seal of Revelation chapter 6. Faith is life itself. It speaks even after the flesh sees corruption of decay, in a voice that God heard and testified of to Cain himself there in Genesis 4:10. As the quotation was, "The voice of thy brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." As the mystery of godliness is great, so also is the mystery of how the body and the soul are joined together, but they are. And life is in the blood, and the soul remains even if one walks through the valley of the shadow. And faith, alive and thoughtful, it's a pillar of the gospel. It came to be expressed as the word was made flesh to dwell among us. And now we've seen that glory by the covering of the blood of Christ, and by that word that ever was, now is, and always will be, and found in a person. Thus we take every saying of Jesus to be the wisdom that exists of itself, the I am wisdom that made itself known to us. by the one who said, before Abraham was, I am. So to have faith is life. To deepen your faith is to give yourself even more of the substance of life. And if you're listening to me now, we're all fellow pursuers of life. There's no other reason to take note of anything that I say unless it's in agreement with what the Word says. As truly we are in this together, even as being fellow servants, along with the angelic order, as spoken to John the Apostle in Revelation 19:10 and Revelation 22 and verse 9. So in this world, there are many varying opinions and emphasis points, interpretations, and that can change from assembly to assembly. But that's also freedom to seek and to find. To pursue truth as God makes it known. It's part of what the Lord has ordained to keep people searching and to keep seeking and finding, as opposed to denominational organization which stops spiritual revelation at a certain point and will not go farther. And in the worst case scenario, it will even be of a spirit that says, I am rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing. So my encouragement to all is just to seek and to find. Faith works in such ways. So here at Hebrews 11, this amazing portion of Scripture tells us something that science has only come to realize in the last 100 years or so, that everything we see was formed out of the unseen, that everything visible was created from the invisible. And that thought contained here, it's so far removed from the mainstream of religious practices and mythologies of the day that the Bible was written in, as invariably the creation stories of all races, tribes, and tongues have the world being formed out of some type of physical form that was there before. Only the Bible tells us that we are, in fact, the result of an idea. We're the result of a thought, a living thought, that had no material aspect to it as we define it. And that power of thought and wisdom we refer to as God. The knowledge that exists of itself, alone. But God has a desire to share faith with others, and here we are as a result of that desire. So we're given the gift of life, for the Creator did not wish to be alone in His thoughts forever, but rather bring them to life in order to make them actual. And God the Father would live out His thoughts by planting the seeds of belief within us. And then as Lord of the harvest, He would gather together the increase, the fruit of the field, and bring those virtues and those people who the virtues live within, He would bring them before His throne, even to the place prepared, where tears are wiped away, and perfection lives, the kingdom of His will, in the new heavens, new earth, in the new Jerusalem. Critics will ask, why didn't God create a perfect place? Well, He did. We call it heaven. And within that heaven that awaits, we need a new city of peace for the old one, this old Jerusalem on this earth. It has too many bloodstains upon it, where even our Lord Jesus was crucified, albeit outside the city walls. And the Jerusalem of our prophetic day of Revelation 11:8, it even becomes the center of wickedness and oppression, being equaled to Sodom for wickedness and Egypt to represent oppression. We need a new city. A new city of peace that shines upon a hill and one that cannot be hidden. So God has ordained that, and He is going to give us some place that is truly better. In Galatians chapter 5, I want to read verses 5 through 6, and just leading up to that is being assured then that our God is for us and He's with us, and that the workings of faith that were once delivered to the saints, that it dwells within us by our acceptance. We'll speak this week to the pillars of our faith, pillars of the gospel in specific. And we'll speak to those issues not because you don't know them, but rather because you do know them. and have a daily need to walk in the light of His presence. But here today, in general terms, to tell of what faith is and how it operates, let's partake of Galatians chapter 5, verses 5 and 6. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Speaking to those of the Gentile nations, but also to the dispersed of Israel and Judea, concerning about what place the law given to Moses, what of it had to be kept now that Christ was come, we come to this pillar of knowledge that must be held on to with all your mind, heart, with all your soul and strength, that faith works by love. And it always has, before the workings of the law, even from eternity. It was this thought that started it all. For God loved the idea of us so much, even before the worlds were framed, that He brought it all together to bring us out of the darkness of non-existence and into His glorious light. And love started it all, as love and faith are one, just as righteousness and peace have kissed one another. Of Psalms 85 and verse 10, which is a harmony of walking together with one voice, so is this matter. And you cannot have true faith without love being at the core of what is believed. That shows notably in 1 Corinthians 13, where all is in vain unless Christian charity is present, as the basis of all that is hoped and looked for is found therein. Love shows itself in care for others. It can be imitated for a while. False intents can be hidden for a period. But the truth will come out in the end. And Jesus gave the best advice on this subject when He said, "By their fruits ye shall know them." So God's love for us is true, and it showed in His sacrifice for us, the ones He knew from the very beginning, whereby the Lord devised a plan of salvation that would work no matter what, despite fears, failures, arguments of science, falsely so called, oppositions of philosophy, political factors, family considerations, and just plain old stubbornness, and everything that has unbelief in it, right on down the line. But we come to this conclusion that love never fails through all of those things. Love never fails. It's eternal, and it's as never-ending as God Himself, for it's written that God is love. And that makes the Lord's attributes to be as eternal as the Lord Himself. And that's the land of our dwelling, and all that we hold to be yea and amen rests upon the pillars of our gospel. It's our good news, and that is for certain on a forever basis. God bless you all. Keep faith alive, and Lord willing, we'll speak again tomorrow. God bless you, everyone.